What's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. I'm your host for the evening, Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
I got feet that's in my blood, like a lotus I grew from the mud, yeah. Manifested by design, finally free from the lies, yeah. I got my elders here with me, keeping my eyes on the truth. They watching like it's a movie, from the top of the hills of Burundi. I done had an epiphany, chakras aligned, stars in the sky, steady protecting my energy. Facing my demons one at a time, fuck it, I'm coming through. Young, black, gifted and beautiful, fuck it, I'm coming through.
Busy breaking my hair, busy taking my time, yeah.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This evening, we are going to have an amazing discussion about a show that's opening very, very soon called Dominoes at the Crossroads. This show is an adaptation from a book, and it represents a poignant, vital voice from the Montreal landscape. Kai Kello, who is the author, his writing resonates wildly in a world where so many people straddle the line between cultures and have and not having one, but multiple roots and homes. Zach Fraser has adapted and directed Dominoes at the Crossroads for the stage in collaboration with a multidisciplinary team of artists. The artists joining us this evening are Alexandra Laferrière and Jeremy Lewis, two-thirds of the ensemble who will be performing this adaptation on stage. Alexandra Laferrière is a Montreal actor of Haitian descent. She's a graduate of the John Abbott College's Professional Theatre Acting Program and participated in Black Theatre Workshop's Artist Mentorship Program, receiving guidance and support from established local artists. During her mentorship, she performed in Black Theatre Workshop's critically acclaimed production, Gas Girls, which was her professional debut. Jeremy Lewis is a mixed-race artist, predominantly Trinidadian and French-Canadian, born and raised in Jaujague, Montreal. Jeremy has always had an interest in the arts, having studied classical and jazz trombone in high school. They initially set their sights on pursuing a career as a musician. With a running time of approximately 90 minutes, Dominoes at the Crossroads will be playing at 3680 Jeanmont Street, Montreal, from March 7 to March 16, 2024, and tickets can be purchased immediately at infinitheater.com. Alex and Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Yo, yo, yo. Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
Doing good.
I'm doing well, yeah.
Great, great, great. I'm so excited because the other third of this two-thirds is me. So I'm very excited to have you on tonight and to be talking about this show. Alex, I know that you actually were involved a bit before Jeremy and myself with regards to the show. Could you speak to a little bit of that process and how you got on board?
Yeah, sure. We did a handful of workshops. It was either at Infinite Theater or in Calixte à la Vallée, like that little art center in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
And it was me, another fellow actor, a musician, and some other actors that were just reading and trying to understand what the themes were. How did I get into this project? Wow, I don't even remember. I think Zach emailed me. Well, he reached out.
Right.
And I was interested, and then I read the book, and we started brainstorming during the few workshops that we had, mm-hmm. and then it led to this point.
Right. And both you and Jeremy are actually connected historically to Zach Fraser. Is that correct?
Yep.
You can put it that way.
I mean, the past is history, right?
So yeah.
Could you talk a bit about
how you know Zach? He's my uncle.
How do you guys know Zach? Jeremy?
He was a teacher at Abbott, where I and Alex both went a couple years apart.
Great. And Jeremy, how did you become involved in the project?
Well, I was getting coffee with Zach, I want to say last fall now, or like into the winter or something, sometime around there. And we were just sort of like talking about like life. And I was like in my final year at school at the time. And I was like talking about like my plans for after school and what comes next and all that. Mm-hmm. And just trying to like figure that all out. And I asked him, I was like, yeah, what do you have like sort of going on in the next like year or so? What's on your horizon? Mm-hmm. And he brought up this project that he was like interested in and like working on which was adapting Dominoes at the Crossroads into a stage play. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of in that conversation where he was like telling me about it and all of his ideas. And I was like fairly interested. And he offered to like lend me a copy to read. And then we had another meeting a month or two later. And at that meeting, we were talking about like themes and like what could work, what ties together, how it could like lift up off the page.
Yeah.
And it was there that he like sort of invited me to be a part of the project.
Awesome. And now that we're in the rehearsal process, it's been 5 or 6 weeks now. We're 2 or 3 weeks away from show. What has that experience been like for you guys? Because it's kind of like it's a play, but it's a work in progress at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Alex?
I feel like the first few weeks were workshopping it, and whether we figuring out how to stage it or just how the words are coming off the page. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of blending into also the rehearsal progress of it. So it's still figuring out how to make the text and the story work while staging it at the same time and trying to make more concrete decisions and choices just so we can make the connections throughout the story.
Mm-hmm. Alex, you've had quite a career. You have over a decade of acting under your belt now, since 2013. More than that? Less than that?
Inconsistent. No, well, it's always inconsistent work, you know? And there's years where it's like very fruitful and some where it's like, okay, 2 years, it's been very calm.
Yes. But you've been working fairly... You've got a lot of work under your belt still.
I guess relatively.
We'll say relatively, yes. But has the majority of your work been on plays that have been like concrete and that have been either published or ready, or have you also worked on different stuff that you need that needed a workshop as well?
It's rare that I work on plays that need this amount of workshopping. Mm-hmm. The one play that I did do that we would spend time doing work at the table trying to figure out the text was for Simone Half and Half.
Okay.
But then at a certain point, the text was the text. And then we just worked on the acting and the staging of it, like how we move around and how we're telling the story. For Dominoes, mm-hmm. it's really a lot of things are still shifting mm-hmm. and changing. Mm-hmm. So that's what's different about that process for me.
Yeah. And what I'm curious about is how different is it to be like working, almost being like you've been involved for almost a year on this project, 8 months to a year, and what is the difference between like getting a final script and like having this constantly fluid, mercurial script that changes almost every few days? What's the difference been like for you in your process?
It can be a bit chaotic. I am someone that does like to have a certain amount of structure because I do a lot of preparation at home. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have difficulty finding things in the rehearsal room because it goes at such a clip that I'm not always feeling like in my creative spot. I feel more in my technical spot. Mm-hmm. So it's having that time at home to really bring in like creative ideas and choices that I might not have thought up of in the room. So with this one, it's really working my technical side and also my creative side and in how I'm responding to the text or responding to my partners and what I'm getting out of something and trying to put into words how that's making me act or what themes I'm getting with the team.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, is this your first professional play?
Yeah, I like Yeah, I would say this is my first professional full-scale production that I've been a part of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how
I've done like a couple of things here and there with like the workshops or yeah. But
and how does that differentiate from how you learned in school and now, okay, we're in a professional field, but this is the work that it is at the moment.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, when I was in school, I found that like there was always this idea that like what comes after school is like when you get to start like working on the things and like being equal collaborators on projects with other people, mm-hmm. Instead of being like being equal collaborators on a project and like having opinions and being able to like speak your mind on choices that you're making with someone like a director or a writer or what have you, mm-hmm. there was always this idea that like that only comes after school. And then like it was in school that I found that I was like, oh no, like we're all like collaborating now. It's, yeah, I might be learning certain things from people who have more experience from me. But like at the same time, I'm still the person I'm going to be in like a few months when this idea of like, I guess like hierarchy or is like put into more of a question in my head. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think for me, it hasn't really changed all that much, like being out of school and working in the field versus working with people at school. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I will say has changed is like, I feel like I'm a lot less like in the mind of like, oh, okay, and like, this is gonna be a good grade or like this is like the next step. It sort of, it feels like a lot more free and open to sort of follow my interests, trust my guts and my intuition, and like check in with where I'm at in the moment.
Mm, that's interesting. When you were in school, while you had that collaborative aspect, were you working on plays that were finalized, or was there perhaps a playwright that was working on something and you developed it kind of similar to what is being done with Dominoes at the Crossroads?
Yeah, I think what is being done with Dominoes at the Crossroads, it's the first time that I've ever been working on a play that's like being adapted from something. But in my time at school, like I got the opportunity to work on plays that were finalized and like were written like years ago or within the last like few years or like classical texts and all that. But then I also got the chance to work on plays that were being written by peers of mine at the school, because there's like a whole like playwriting stream
component. Yeah.
And so I got to see sort of what it's like to be not only interpreting finalized texts or like quote unquote finalized texts, but also I got to see what it's like interpreting text that's still in development in someone's process and like living inside of that. And maybe like in living inside of that, it might inform something for them inadvertently or unintentionally. And then they take that away and sort of put it into the script. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's an exciting time though.
How important is play in your process? We'll start with Alex. When it comes to this play that we're approaching, how important is it for you to play with the character and figure out how the character moves?
Well, I think in general it's pretty important because they call it a play for a reason. You're working off, well, working off. You're playing off other people. You're going with what's happening in the moment with your intuition, and external factors too can open up your play as well. Like when something happens on stage that's an accident or out of the ordinary, and all of a sudden your creativity just blooms because mm-hmm. you're working with a new element. You're playing with a new element.
Yeah.
With this process, there's play, and then there's a lot of trying to figure out what some of the characters, some of the pieces are saying, which is, I separate that from the play because I find that that's the actor work.
Okay.
Trying to find out whether it's the author's intention or what the character's intention is. And then I hope that once I figure that out, there could be more play in that once that's clear with me.
Jeremy.
Yeah, I feel sort of similarly to Alex in that, like, I sort of view it in stages. I think that play is probably the most important thing for me. And I see, like, play as something that, like, you can get to, but there's, like, steps to take ahead of, like, getting there. And the way that it makes sense in my mind is sort of, like, the creativity and the fun that comes out of play, or like the discovery that comes out of play, to me feels like playing like tag or like some sort of like schoolyard game. And like, first you need to build the playground, and like you need to get to know the playground. And once you get to know the playground, you know the best shortcuts to take. And you know how to use the monkey bars in multiple ways. And like the swings are your best friend and everything. And you have all of these tools at your disposal that just elevate the game, and you sort of become like an expert tag player. You're like never it, you know?
You're never it, but then part of the fun is being it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us for the first time, we are speaking to two performers who will be in a play called Dominoes at the Crossroads, adapted and directed by Zach Fraser, original novel by Kai Kello. So we're talking to Alexandra Laferrière and Jeremy Lewis. Alexandra is a Montreal actor of Haitian descent, graduate of John Abbott College's Professional Theater Acting Program, and participant in Black Theater Workshops 2013-14 or 2014-15?
2014-15
Artist Mentorship Program. Jeremy Lewis is a mixed race, predominantly Trinidadian and French Canadian, born and raised in Jojage, musically inclined, and of course the play is approximately 90 minutes, playing at 3680 Jean-Mont Street, Montreal, from March 7 to 16. Tickets are available immediately. Go to infinitytheater.com. But we do have to take a quick break because this is Radioland. We got to pay some bills. We got to play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects Montreal's Black and Caribbean community. Read the community contact. News, features, opinions, music reviews, cultural events, and so much more. Our voices, our perspectives, our community. Published every 2 weeks, pick it up at your favorite community spot or visit us online at our new and dynamic website, mtlcommunitycontact.com. Easy to navigate and lots to enjoy. Archived issues also on the site and available on the web. That's mtlcommunitycontact.com. Stay in contact.
And plenty times, steady protect my peace of mind. Keeping my eyes up on the prize. Ready, secure, feeling aligned. It's like we don't gotta worry no more. Cause even when it hit the fan, we know it's all in the vibe, yeah. We're gonna be alright. So pour me a cup with no alcohol. Turn it up anywhere we go. We're coming along with it. We come a long way. Cause the money was slow, now we're pocket ballet. It's all in the vibe, yeah. We're gonna be alright. Keep it going all night, yeah, we're doing alright. Keep it going all night, yeah, we're doing all right.
to act, who to be. I reply with a smile. F you pay me, I hydrate it.
Look at me go. Flying high like an ego. Keep your drama way out the dough. Can't nobody mess with my flow. Steady finessing, curve like a crescent. All lucky sevens, check my ascendant. I'm dripping in luxury. And my entourage, all VIP. 1, 2, buckle my shoe. 3, 4, step out the dough. Put my shades on, strike a pose. Flex like my gym book. Stack checks like my gym book. Flex like my gym book. Stack checks like my gym book. Flex like my gym book. Stack checks like my gym book. Be the best like my gym book. Be the best like my gym book. Hey. In the zone, yeah. Blessings won't leave me alone. Sprinkle bravado all over my plate. Make him wait, but I'm always right. On time with the beat go. Baseline like a hella fine Pino. Timeless like Ella and Kijo. Roll out the red carpet, we go. 1, 2.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. And with us this evening are two performers from Infinite Theaters, Dominoes at the Crossroads, that is going to be playing at 3680 Jeanmont Street here in Montreal. It's an approximately 90-minute show, and they'll be running from March 17 to 16. We have with us Alexandra Laferrière, Montreal-based actor of Haitian descent, and Jeremy Lewis, a mixed-race predominantly Trinidadian and French-Canadian, born and raised here in Jaujague, Montreal, who is also very musically inclined. Jeremy, Alex, thank you so much for being with us tonight and taking the time out of your schedule, because you've got a lot of text to study. You've got a lot of monologues, you've got a lot of dialogues, you've got a lot of things. So really appreciate the time that you're taking out to let our community know about this play and about what you're doing. But I want to take a deeper dive into you as artists. Being of Caribbean descent, you know, there's usually the big threes that just stereotypically are the community, or sometimes even our parents will be like, you need to be a doctor, a lawyer, or an accountant. You can substitute accountant with architect. You know, one of those, okay, you're going to be really respected. You're going to make a lot of money kind of career. Why did y'all decide to be artists? What was the inspiration? How did artistry come to you, or how did you find artistry? Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I guess to say, because my parents weren't your typical Caribbean parents. Yeah, my mom had a job in healthcare, but they're the kind of people that have a lot of integrity and would rather see their children happy than force a kind of idea upon them. And also my dad is a journalist and a writer, so it would be weird of him to push me in a field that not even he has an interest in.
Mm-hmm. And how did you kind of come to art and being a performing artist?
My dad writes books. My sisters were storytellers.
Okay.
They were both always telling stories. And one of my sisters, she still does writing in her life. But that was a part of our lives growing up. Like telling stories, playing characters with each other, and really playing in imagination.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremy, what about you?
So my parents sort of from a young age, they saw that like, I like to talk to myself, and I would often like just spend hours either like with friends or by myself, just like living in this like make-believe world. I would like come up with stories and film them. And a lot of them are just on Facebook now, like 12-year-old Jeremy being like, oh, and we're in Epic Land, or today we're doing parkour, you know, 12-year-old stuff. But that was sort of like how I started like getting into art and like creating and stuff. Mm-hmm. And from there, it was just sort of like following my interests wherever it led me. And it led me to music. It led me to improv in high school, and then it like led me into acting in Cégep afterward. And all the while, like my parents were there with me, just sort of like taking note of where I was going and like what my interests were. And I have to say, I am very grateful for the fact that like my parents just didn't try to impede. They always like offered support. And they always showed that they were there to support. And sometimes their support came in the way of like, yeah, like do the thing. Sometimes it came in the way of like, okay, how are we going to do the thing? And like, let's talk like concrete plans and of
logistics.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's sort of like my experience and relationship getting into art and and how my parents so supported me along the way.
I feel like we're three peas in a pod, because my parents also were of the same ilk. My father was a photographer. My mother is a free-spirited woman, and it was because of my father that I got into theater. He literally, we were in Kingston, Jamaica, and he was like, "Why don't you go to theater school?" I was about to finish high school, and I was like, "Yeah, that sounds good." And then, you know, every couple of weeks he'd be like, "So, did you go get the application?" I was like, "No, not yet." And then one day he just got fed up with me, drove me directly to the theater school and told me, "Go down that corridor, turn right, go upstairs, get an application form." And once I did the application and I got into the audition, I was like, "That's all she wrote." And my parents, my family has supported me ever since. So it's kind of serendipitous that all three of us who have this kind of the generation before us are supportive of the arts and are giving and generous, strategic, you know, okay, maybe we need to figure out how this is going to work. But it's kind of cool that the three of us had that support from the generation above us. What brought you to theater specifically, though? What was it about theater that was so attractive and intriguing, perhaps?
For me, what brought me to theater, funny enough, was like an open house at a school.
Okay.
I was like dead set on going to one school for their music program, and I was ready to like study like jazz trombone. And my mom was like, "Well, like you should see what other schools have to offer. Go check out the open houses." And I was like, "Mom, I'm not going to change my career trajectory based on one afternoon at a school. That's ridiculous." And then she was like, "Just do it anyway. And then you can say you did it. And then if you still want to go to this school afterwards." And I was like, "Okay, fine. Well, I'll do it anyway, just to please you." And then I went to this school. I went to John Abbott's. I saw their theater department. And it was just like, I walk into this room and there's like 12 to 15 people just sort of like in this one big cuddle puddle in the middle of like a studio.
Okay.
And one of them is instructed to just like start laughing. Like all of their heads are like lying on top of each other's like bellies. Mm-hmm. One of them is instructed to start laughing. And then slowly this laughter builds and builds and builds across everyone until everyone's laughing. And then the same person is instructed to start crying from that point of laughter. And they start crying and they let out wails and everyone's like screaming and crying and all that. And then it slowly just sort of dies down. And I had like the thought after seeing this happen in front of me, I was like, you can get graded for this? So that's what got me into theater.
Wow. That's amazing. Alex, what about you?
Oh, wow. I don't know if my story compares. I saw a production of Sleepy Hollow, and I thought it was really cool.
Hey.
And then over the years, I realized, oh, actually, it's really, theater can really change people, or at least their point of view. And I thought that's really beautiful about this art form, whether it's in theater or in movies.
Okay.
Like, you could really change someone or open someone's perspective up.
What brought you to the realization that theater could change someone?
I don't remember. It's just different plays over the years, seeing them, or different stories. Or if you think about, like, it's easy to come up with a favorite movie or a movie that's, like, stayed with you. Mm-hmm. Or a play that stayed with you. Like, there's more than one. It doesn't start at the one. Right. It's a journey of many different ones that you hope are making you a better person or a more compassionate person.
Right, right. How has being of Black origin, how has that affected the way that you move through the theater world, especially in a assumedly predominantly white city and up until recently a very white dominant profession?
Mm-hmm. There are some differences depending on what language you speak. Mm-hmm. I'd say I predominantly work in the Anglophone side of theater.
Okay.
And I wonder if there are certain institutions or certain things that we hold on to that maybe don't serve me. Like, I don't have to speak for on behalf of the whole community.
Right.
But I was just thinking about, like, the Grammys and how Jay-Z came up and had a whole discussion about how it's not important, but he's still there.
Right.
And just kind of, like, the paradox with that and how we see certain things as markers of success, but maybe they're not markers of success at all. It's just kind of the cycle of not abuse, but a cycle of this is what I have to be. Oh, I'm not living up to expectations. Oh, I've reached a marker. This is what I have to be. Oh, I'm not living up to expectations. Oh, I've reached a marker.
Okay.
Like, just a vicious cycle.
Like, you're getting to the nomination of this accolade because you've done all this work, but then you don't get it. And so you feel like you're unworthy. And then you get the nomination again. You get close to it.
It could be a nomination. It could be, oh, I worked for this company. Oh, I worked with this person. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that doesn't always mean that you're there.
Yeah.
Because you might never be there in your head.
Right. So you feel like, okay, I've reached and I've accomplished this thing, but then you leave the theater, the award ceremony or whatever, and you're still struggling. You haven't reached this, whatever it is that you thought you were supposed to have achieved, you're still like, oh, back to square one. I need to know where the next dollar is coming from, type of deal.
Yeah, and maybe it's not through these agreed upon markers of success that's where I'll find my wholeness. Mm.
Jeremy, what about you? As a newly minted graduate, have you had any of those experiences of, like, navigating your Blackness, your mixed race life through art?
Yeah, constantly. I find, like, it was something that was present through school, and, like, the something that's been present since I've been out too. And it's like almost everything that I've done so far, with the exception of maybe like two projects since being out of school, has been centered around or has had a strong focus on identity, and particularly the identity of, like, Caribbean Canadian folks. Mm-hmm. And so it's been like, it's been something that's, that I've been aware of, not only internally, but externally within the projects, of just like, and not only myself, but like everyone who's working on the projects. It's something that like tends to be a point of like focus in the work, as well as socially in the room, which I found like it feels like a, in rooms where it's like given the space, I feel like that to me has felt a lot more accessible, and like it's felt a lot more like open, because there's room for discussion around it. And it doesn't always mean that it's like comfortable for myself, for others, for anyone involved, but the fact that it's like given the space means that there's this like sort of, it's not like the elephant in the room, or like the unspoken thing that like gets swept under the rug. It's so I felt like a lot of good conversations have come out of rooms where there's like a focus on it in the work, and by extension, because we're interacting with the work and the work's interacting with us as people, and how we look like it. It's been neat. Now, the flip side to that, though, is that there have been a couple of times where I was navigating just sort of my identity in a way where it felt very like lonely in certain processes. And it felt lonely sort of coming at it from like both ends of my identity, whether it be like feeling like I'm the odd one out because I'm like not as light as everyone, or feeling like I'm the odd one out because I'm not as dark as everyone. And like, what I've come to is understanding that like I've stopped trying to apologize for like myself and for like existing. How I look,
yeah,
and how I present, because I feel like that's it's a very important thing, that like you are who you are, and it's not a matter of apologizing for yourself. It's a matter of, I think, like living with yourself and inviting others to sort of see your perspective, where it's coming from your point of view. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And that's been like something, it's still ongoing for me, of like figuring out how that manifests in my life and in my work. And I think it's something that's gonna keep evolving and keep changing as I change and as the world around me changes.
How important is it that who you are at your core is a part of the art that you are invited to create, or that you create yourself?
For me, it tends to be something I look for. Like I find my entrance into a lot of the projects starts from a point of like, okay, where am I in here? I feel like I'm in here somewhere. And whether that be like the Jeremy that is like into music, or the Jeremy that's into like longboarding, or the Jeremy that has a strange affinity for historical drama. I don't know, but I like look for that Jeremy everywhere or like different versions of Jeremy in like every process. And sometimes it's like blatant, just like slapped on the cover of whatever it is. And then other times it's like two sentences on the 58th page. And you're like, ah, okay, he's there. There you are.
And what about you, Alex?
I'd say it's a good launching point to find bits of yourself, because it also engages your empathy, which is really important when you're trying to discover what the character is. And the character, when we speak of character, it's not another person, it's you embodying the characteristics. And to know where you really connect, and then seeing where you can stretch or find the reasons and the ideas behind why certain choices are made mm-hmm. from this character is where things get really interesting.
Yes, 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 yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are joining us for the first time, we are speaking to a couple of Montreal-based artists, Jojage-based artists, Alexandra Laferrière, a Montreal actor of Haitian descent, a graduate of John Abbott's professional theater acting program, and a former participant in Black Theater Workshop's Artist Mentorship Program from 2013 to 2014. Jeremy Lewis, our other performer that's speaking with us this evening, is a mixed race artist, predominantly Trinidadian and French Canadian, born and raised here. They have always been interested in the arts, studied classical, jazz, trombone in high school, and they're talking about themselves. But also they're here to let us know about an approximately 90-minute play they are in called Dominoes at the Crossroads, which will be playing at 3680 Jeanmont Street here in Montreal from March 7th to March 16th. And tickets are available now on infinitetheater.com. We do have to take a pause, take a break, play some music, pay some bills, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Our data. When you're not paying for a product, you are the product. Especially in web and email services, where multinationals compete to manage your communication so they can make a profit off of the private communication you are producing. Kumbit is a worker cooperative trying to help small organizations or individuals get their email, website creation, and website hosting services off corporate services such as Google. For more information, contact us at kumbit.org or email at info@kumbit.org. That's K-O-U-M-B-I-T. We are not on Facebook.
He was sent from above. Oh yeah. Swept me off my feet like no other. Make my heart go beat like a drummer. Each time we lock eyes, I know that there's no more searching for my bonanza. Yeah, we got the answer. Even if I try to push him away, he said, let me care for you, my darling. Make you breakfast in the morning. Together, sugar bang bang, sugar so sweet. Such a vibe. Oh my, can't deny it. Sweat me off my feet like no other. Make my heart go beat like a drummer. Yeah, each time we lock eyes, I know that there's no more searching for my bonanza. Yeah, we got the answer. Even if I try.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and tonight we are talking to some performers from a show that is opening in just a couple of weeks. It's called Dominoes at the Crossroads, and it represents a vital, poignant voice from the Montreal landscape. The original author, Kai Kello's writing, resonates wildly in a world where so many people straddle the line between cultures and not having one, but multiple roots and homes. Zach Fraser has adopted and directed Dominoes at the Crossroads for the stage in collaboration with a whole team of multidisciplinary artists. The artists joining us this evening are Alexandra Laferrière and Jeremy Lewis, two-thirds of the ensemble who will be performing this adaptation on stage. Alexandra is a Montreal actor of Haitian descent, a graduate of John Abbott's professional theater acting program, and she participated in Black Theater Workshop's Artist Mentorship Program, the 2013-2014 cohort, receiving guidance and support from established local artists. During her mentorship, She performed in Black Theater Workshop's critically acclaimed production Gas Girls, which was her professional debut. Jeremy Lewis is a mixed-race artist, predominantly Trinidadian and French-Canadian, born and raised in Jaujague, Montreal. Jeremy has always had an interest in the arts. Having studied classical music and jazz trombone in high school, they initially set their sights on pursuing a career as a musician, but somehow landed in a theater program, also at John Abbott College. With a running time of 90 minutes, more or less, Dominoes at the Crossroads will be playing at 3680 Jeanmont Street, Montreal, from March 7 to March 16, 2024. Tickets can be purchased right now at infinitetheater.com. You guys, I'm so glad that you agreed to come on and chat with us this evening. This is really a lot of fun for me. We are coming to the last week of Black History Month, and next week is going to be our teen talks. And I was wondering, like, based on the experience that you've had becoming an artist, what is some advice that you would want to share with potential young artists, young Jeremys and young Alexandras out there who are like, what am I going to do with my life? I'm thinking about art. What are some things that you would say? Let's say some pros and cons of living an artistic life.
I really appreciated my interaction with this veteran thespian who said that he doesn't want to be seen as this person that has all the answers for us, because he knows he doesn't have all the answers for us, and he could just give some advice that helped him, but it's still his personal experience. And so that's kind of how I got my interactions with people that have less experience or are younger than me. It's, I may have advice, but just take it as advice, because a lot of times I've received advice that was not at all good advice. And some of it could be even seen as to my detriment.
Right.
So keep the advice that feeds you and
discard the one that doesn't.
Discard the ones that don't. And if you feel like you want to go a certain path, evaluate that path as to why, what are your reasons, and yeah.
And what about you, Jeremy? What kind of advice do you think you would give a young person who's looking to engage in the artist world?
First thing, it's like a message that like a friend of mine told me like years ago that I've sort of kept close to me, but it's you have everything to share and nothing to prove. I often find like particularly when I was a little bit younger, but also like as I've grown a bit, I feel like there's this like part of me that is wanting to like please people with the art I make, or like prove to people that like I deserve to be where I'm at. And I think like this is something I come back to often, because it's a reshaping of like that mindset, where it's like you don't have to prove to anyone why you are where you are. You're already there. You're doing the things that you do, and all you have to do is just share. That's where I try and guide my focus to. Another thing that I would offer too is, as someone who is flagrantly disorganized, try as best as you can to get organized, especially when it comes to like schedules, to finances, to like, or budgeting and like meal planning, things like that. Get organized.
That is primordial advice. I think every artist needs to like take that advice and like really incorporate it into their lives. Another question I have, how do you determine your value when like negotiating different roles and things like that? Because one of the things, especially as because I don't consider myself a theater artist first, even though that was my first training, I'm more of a spoken word artist. And, you know, I have to negotiate contracts, whether it's with schools, whether it's with shows that I'm performing. And one of the detriments I find has been like knowing your value and standing on your value, your monetary value based on your experience. That has been a challenge for me in the past. How do you gauge that now in your different stages as artists?
For monetary value, partner yourself up with an agent that is not charging you fees, because they should not be doing that.
Okay.
And be on the same page as to what you think is fair, or have that conversation with them. Mm-hmm. I think it would be hard for me not to do this work without an agent, because I don't pride myself on being a salesperson. And just because you are in the entertainment industry, it doesn't mean that that's something you need to work on.
Right.
You could partner yourself up with people that you trust that could work on that behalf. Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy, have you been navigating those waters as well?
In a very similar way to Alex, I'd say. In that, like, the I haven't had to be the one to negotiate like monetary value for things, and I feel very grateful for that, especially being so fresh out of school and like not really, I feel like I haven't yet had the time to like get a sense of standards and like what is common versus uncommon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm curious about what roles that you have played during the course of your career, whether it's academic or professional, what roles kind of had a significant impact on you in terms of maybe changing your perspective? A little bit of what you were saying earlier, Alex, about like, you know, changing lives type of thing. What role or roles that you've played have maybe altered your perspective and given you maybe an aha moment or otherwise?
I'd say that's with every role I get. It could be a big aha moment, or it could be a little one. Like, there's not really any roles that, because I'm always learning something with each project that I'm on. Mm-hmm.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I think for me, there's a couple of roles that like initially jumped to mind. One of them was in a play called Dr. Faustus by Christopher Marlowe. Mm-hmm. The character is Dr. Faustus. And that play, that role, I felt like what that really like struck a chord in me with how that affected me was it like showed me that it made me realize that I adore classical text.
Okay.
And like playing with it. And it also made me realize too that like because before that I felt a lot of comfort and ease in like more so comedic work.
Okay.
And that was like one of my first sort of like larger arcs of a dramatic character, where I got to explore like the inner philosophy and the feelings of the character and like figure out how it's justified. So that was a neat experience. And then another one was, and also Dr. Foster felt like very far at the time from like who I was as a person. Mm-hmm. But then another one for like almost the opposite reason that affected me, was this character named Robin, who was like, felt like the energy of the character felt very close to me. With the exception of just like this like franticness and this drive forward that like at times sort of got away from him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way that one resonated with me and affected me over, or has lasted with me, is that like it showed me how something that like seems so close can sometimes be more tricky to get into. Mm-hmm. Or unlock, especially unlocking like the freedom of play and the freedom of discovery, when like you come in feeling like you know the character, like you know everything you need to know about the character before you get to know the character.
Yeah,
I feel like it showed me that like that gets in the way, and sometimes there was times where I was like, oh, the text doesn't make sense because the character would do this instead. Whereas like the text is the character, and what isn't clicking is my perspective on the character, and the text is paramount to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I've been in rooms having workshopped my own play, and have actors telling me what this character that I've been sitting with for the past 7 years does. And I'm just like, that's not even in the text. Like how much of you, your influence should you have over a character versus the other way around?
I think it all comes from the text. All the answers are in the text. And like, if you're looking outside of the text for the answers, I don't think you're asking the right questions. I think it's like, it's steering away from what's like the story's trying to get at, or what the character's in the story for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it might be like, sometimes it might be the type of thing where like you need like outside inspiration to sort of like dislodge or unlock something for you with the character. But I think like all of the answers, more often than not, are in the text.
Mm-hmm. I think it depends. I'm learning with dominoes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes not all the answers are precisely in the text, okay. Especially in terms of approaching the character. Mm. A lot of it, I feel like a lot of it is coming from the vision of our director.
Okay.
And it depends on the project, because as an actor, you can use your inference,
okay,
on certain things, especially if you've been in a room and you find that, let's say, for example, you're in a room that's predominantly white, including the playwright.
Okay.
And if you're the only person of color and you see something that is not exactly clicking, it can be in the text, but does that make human sense to you?
Right.
Is that something that, it doesn't have to be just you. Sometimes I don't see myself doing some things, but I could still see the human sense and why a character is doing something. If something feels so alien, I will speak up on that, and I will give my point of view. Sometimes there's changes that are made, and sometimes it's, okay, this is the kind of story we're telling. So it always depends on the project.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a nuanced discussion that you have.
It's nuanced. And yeah.
It's almost like it's a case by case basis. You can't paint all plays with the same brush. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're joining us for the first time, we are talking theater, we are talking profession, we're talking Dominoes at the Crossroads, which is going to be running from March 7th to 16th, 2024. Our guests this evening, Alexandra Laferrière and Jeremy Lewis, are two-thirds of the performing ensemble. And so we encourage you to get your tickets at infinitheater.com, and it's going to be at 3680 Jeanmont Street here in Montreal. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. We do have to take a quick break, pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Little girl with a heart so pure, you carried the weight of the world on your tiny shoulders. With a smile that could end a war, sparkle in your eyes so hopeful, hopeful. All alone to pick up the pieces, while you should be busy daydreaming. Oh, all that you needed was a little understanding, praying for a little love. How could you know that some people take advantage, make you feel like you're not enough? Oh, I'm sorry that it took me so long. You won't always have to be strong. Oh, won't you take my hand? We always run to win the race, giving all we got to win the first place. The trick is this track, it never ends, so I'd rather walk instead. I've been lost and found way too many times, and my heart's been scarred for a while, and I don't wanna rush, oh no, I'm taking it slow, and still I wanna give you a chance, oh, cause I want your love.
We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This evening, we are dedicating the show to a discussion about a play called Dominoes at the Crossroads, which represents a vital, poignant voice from the Montreal landscape. The author, Kai Kello, Kello's writing resonates widely in a world where so many people straddle the line between cultures and not having one, but having multiple roots and homes. Zach Fraser has adapted and directed Dominoes at the Crossroads for the stage in collaboration with a multidisciplinary team of artists. The artists joining us this evening are Alexandra Laferrière and Jeremy Lewis, two-thirds of the ensemble who will be performing this adaptation on stage. Alexandra is a Montreal actor of Haitian descent, a graduate of John Abbott College's Professional Theatre Acting Program, and she participated in Black Theatre Workshop's 2013-2014 Artist Mentorship Program, receiving guidance and support from established local artists. During her mentorship, she had her professional debut in Black Theatre Workshop's critically acclaimed production Gas Girls. Jeremy Lewis is a mixed-race artist, predominantly Trinidadian and French-Canadian, born and raised in Jaujage, Montreal. Jeremy has always had an interest in the arts, having studied classical music and jazz trombone in high school. They initially set their sights on pursuing a career as a musician, but through John Abbott, also became an actor. With a running time of about 90 minutes or so, Dominoes at the Crossroads will be playing at 3680 Jeanmont Street, Montreal, from March 7 to March 16, and you can get your tickets at infinitetheater.com. Guys, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you outside of the rehearsal room, because as I said at the top, I am the other third of that ensemble, and you know, having been on this show for 12 years now and doing it during the pandemic, there's something really interesting about just sitting down and talking to people about what they do and how they came to what they're doing and why are you doing this thing that you don't often get to have that discussion in the working world, you know. So I wanted to ask, what is it that excites you about being a part of Dominoes at the Crossroads? Dead air on the radio is never.
Oh, you can edit that out.
Somebody grab that ball and run with it.
For me,
3 seconds feels like an hour.
I think because I'm so like in the grinding of it.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement comes from when things click, when I don't have to think about my lines, when I don't have to think about those technical things. That's when the exciting stuff happens. I'm still in the process of trying to make sure I know what I'm saying, why I'm saying it, where I'm going, what is this world now in this corner of the room? How do I get there when I have like 6 inches across and make it look like I'm flying, like things like that. So that's where I'm at, basically.
Okay. Jeremy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what excites me about this process and being part of Dominoes is like getting to figure out and find the life of these scenes and these moments that like exist in literature. And I was talking about it with a friend of mine the other day where like in literature, there's so much of the art that is like conjured up inside the mind of the reader.
Right.
Like and in theater, there is still an element of like the art being conjured inside the mind of the viewer, the spectator. But the sort of caveat there is that there's also a visual element often.
Yeah.
And so like figuring out like what makes it into the real world or what's necessary in the real world in order to like have that springboard of imagination for the spectators, like that I find very interesting.
One, as someone who just completed his first solo play and is now working on my first novel, one of the things that resonated with what you just said, Jeremy, is like when you're writing a novel, you have to describe every single thing for the audience, for the reader. Whereas with theater, it has to be shown, not told. You have to show it on stage. So instead of being like in a novel, and I love to take the example of our good friend J.R.R. Tolkien with the Lord of the Rings, and he could spend a page or two just telling you about one single flower or one single detail. And he will go into detail about everything that's happening. Whereas in the movie, I mean, granted, we did essentially end up with a 12-hour epic if you count the extended versions of each of those Lord of the Ring movies. In the movie, you just had to experience it. You can't take the leaf and put it in front and then describe the whole leaf. You see the leaf, okay, you move on. What's the action? And I feel like there's the same thing in theater. You're straddling that line of how much do you tell and exposit to the audience, and how much do they just need to experience via what's going on stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also think something that's neat about it though is that like there's like this sense that in things like literature and like cinema and like TV shows, the thing that those mediums share, I find, is that it's like a story can exist in those mediums where there's like a relationship that's developed between the viewer or the spectator, the reader, mm-hmm. and something that's being presented in the literature, in the film, the TV show, the whatever. Whereas in theater, rarely does it happen that like it's an experience between the spectator and something. More often, it's a relationship between the spectator and someone. And it's like there's always that like person to person element in it. And so like taking literature that has all of these like descriptive environments and like objects or at times like rooms, and then putting that or bringing that to life in a way where it's like you're seeing it through someone experiencing that I find is like sort of where my mind's at with like translating the literature to the stage, because you can't always show like cars zooming down a road, but you can show someone's experience in a car zooming down a road, mm-hmm. sort of thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I find that there can be a fair amount of telling in the theater. Mm-hmm. It just has to be driven. It has to be in purpose with the dramatic action, the through line of the story that you're telling.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes we have that intuitiveness of, oh, that felt too long, or why are they going on about this thing? Either the performer hasn't found the dramatic action, or it's not contributing to the thrust of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a different medium in literature, you're allowed to paint the picture more. And maybe you're not sure why we're stuck on this flower for seven, eight pages,
mm-hmm.
but it's still in line with the message or the meaning or what the author is trying to say. And you could play with time more in a novel.
Right.
And in theater, it's like live is live.
Yep.
There's some tricks you can do, but it's always going to be in the moment. And there's only so much you could play with how you're playing with time.
Yeah. Yeah. You both, we all play multiple characters. Is there a particular character that you found you've resonated with more than others? Without giving away, you know, too much of the play, because we still want to let people experience it.
Interesting. I think for me, a character that I resonate with quite quite a bit in the play is it's like, it's not really a character, but it's like the quote unquote, like Kai's.
Okay.
The chorus of Kai's.
Right.
I think I resonate with them a lot because there's, at times it can sort of like, at first I think as we all did, viewed them as like a narrator. And then as it's gone on, I've noticed that like at times there's just like this punchiness to this like character who's like telling you the story. And like we're told time and time again that narrators should also, or like also can have opinions on like the things that they're talking about, mm-hmm. the stories they tell. But yeah, with Kai, there's like this sense of just like feeling annoyed at things or feeling frustrated with things or feeling nervous about things that like I feel like jumps out to me and yeah, resonates with me as someone who, when I tell stories, I'll like tell it in a way where I'm like, oh, you can tell what I'm annoyed by. You can tell what I was like nervous about, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alex?
I'd say it's more moments that some are strongly resonating than others. Mm-hmm. Moments of feeling as if there's a sense of underappreciation or there's a judgment being placed on me. Moments of fear or excitement towards something new. I'd say it's like splotches of moments where I'm feeling connections.
All right.
Moments of rage.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Dominoes at the Crossroads is playing from March 7th to March 16th. Come see us. The three of us will be on stage. You listen to me every Tuesday. You'll get to see me live. Dominoes at the Crossroads is based on a novel by Kai Kello, whose writing resonates with widely in a world where so many people straddle the line between cultures, not having one, but having multiple roots and homes. Zach Fraser adapted and directed Dominoes at the Crossroads for the stage in collaboration with multiple multidisciplinary artists. The artists that were speaking with us this evening were Alexandra Laferrière and Jeremy Lewis. Alexandra is a Montreal actor of Haitian descent, a graduate of John Abbott College's professional theater program, and an alumni of Black Theater Workshop's Artist Mentorship Program from 2013-2014, so 10 years ago. Jeremy Lewis is a mixed-race artist, predominantly Trinidadian and French-Canadian, born and raised here in Montreal, a.k.a. Jojage. Always had an interest and love for the arts, studied classical music and jazz, and then eventually came to theater. Dominoes at the Crossroads is going to be playing at 3680 Rue Jean-Mance in Montreal from March 7 to March 16. Get your tickets at infinitetheater.com. That brings us to the end of the show. Next week, we're going to be back at West Haven to talk with the kids and see what they're up to. And concluding Black History Month. Please do go to moihistoiredesnoirs.org and find out what else is going on in the city. The Gala Dynasty recently had their launch, so they're going to have a lot of things going on as well. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You have been listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. We'll be right back.
back in the day when I stepped up on the scene. You tried to blame me, I was only 17. Now you wanna kick it like we on the same team. But I don't forget a face and I'm way out of your league.
Listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Ascoltate emissione di radio Marcaro, Penose 10,3 FM CKUT.